Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on a plan for the future right after this. You know, back in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, the global 2,000 scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, disease, plague, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so reports the Club of Rome. Now, in Revelation chapter 6, the God of Israel told us exactly the same thing in essentially the same words by telling us about false prophets, war, famine, and disease. Now, in 1920, nearly 50% of our people lived on the land as subsistence farmers, producing their own food and food for the rest of the world and you and me. Now, today, we Americans have chosen to live in our cities, and now only 3% of us live on the land. 97% of us then are no longer self-sufficient in our food production. We produce grain for export, all right, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this Global 2000 World Population Control Program. Now, these globalists, with a genocide agenda, have a cause that they're willing to die for. And I say, let them die for their cause, and let you and I live for hours. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package. Now, that's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order now. The number is 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Do it right now while you're thinking about it before you forget. All right, last time I said that I'm kind of getting nervous here about the new upcoming administration. If you think George Bush and Kang was bad, you ain't seen nothing until a Marxist takes over. Now, that's not to say George Bush wasn't a Marxist, but at least the Republicans used to say that we're for fiscal responsibility. Well, that's no longer true. The fiscal responsibility went out with George Bush. I think it went out with Dwight D. Eisenhower, if you want my personal opinion. I haven't seen any balanced budget since there was a balanced budget, I think, in 1948. And I think there was a balanced budget around 1953 or 4, something like that. And then we might have had another balanced budget. I kind of forget, in the 60s, I think there was a balanced budget. But, you know, from about 1933 until last night at news time, we've been running budget deficits, and now these lunatics in Washington are telling us that they're going to give us all of these great, wonderful benefits. We're going to have national health care insurance. You know, as a businessman, I got to sit back here and say, what in the hell is going to pay for that? Oh, we're just gonna go out and borrow money and just put it on the cuff, I guess. All right. I wanted to let you know now, you Americans out here, now that you're already on the cuff. You are borrowing $600 billion a year, $600 billion a year, to buy your shoes from overseas and to import your food. Did you know that? And those people out there, now they're not getting paid and haven't been getting paid, and now it's becoming painfully obvious that the people of America cannot pay that debt. Now, as a businessman, I want to let you know that when I got to the point where I could see that one of my customers could not pay his debts, I cut off his credit. That's what happens in life, you know, out here in the real world, you know, if you don't pay your debts. And the first time that we get wind of the fact that you can't pay your debts is when you stop making payments or when you start missing payments. That's a vital clue. And then the rest of us get nervous, and so we cut off your credit. We put you on what we call COD, cash on delivery. You want to buy from me? Fine, but you got to pay me. Now, you still owe me $15,000, but if you want to buy any more from me, you got to pay me right now up front. Now, the other day, I had a little bill down here at the building materials store. And I went in there one day, and Denny said, George, could you help me out a little bit? Your account's up here at this level, and we need to resolve that. Now, you know, we're in this big economic crisis, you know, and so I said, well, let's see if I can't take care of that for you, Denny. And so some time went by. Now, when the time goes by, see, that's a signal that says to me, your bill is, your credit limit's as high as it's going to get, Gordon. Now, pay off. He was nice about it. I mean, very diplomatic, you know. But the message is pretty unmistakable. It says, can you help me out? Can you help me out? That means, could you pay your bill? All right. Now, the other day, the wife went in to pay the bill. And the lady at the desk said, now, your credit's been cut off. And my wife was kind of surprised because, you know, we've been doing business with these people for years and years. And we always pay, and we've never missed. When Denny says, hey, your bill, sometimes I don't pay him for 2 or 3 months. But, you know, when he reminds me, he said, one time it was 6 months. He said, you know, you haven't paid your bill here for 6 months. And I said, no. He said, yeah, you haven't paid your bill for 6 months. And he said, we'd kind of like you to pay up. And so I came home and said, well, wife, how come you haven't paid up? And so she said, well, I'm remiss. And so we went down, paid up. Now, if you can pay off, oh, God, they love you. You know, if you owe somebody $5,000, you know, and you walk in and you put the Benjis on the counter, oh, just it's bygones or bygones. And, you know, but this isn't the way this happened the other day. She went in to pay the bill. And it wasn't Denny, now it was the girl at the desk, and she said, now we have tightened up our credit policies, and our credit policy is that you got to pay cash on delivery. So evidently our local building material store is taking it in the shorts from a lot of contractors out here that, you know, are out building houses, doing their thing, and now here comes this credit crunch, and they can't collect from their customers, and they can't pay their bills. And so now the guy at the building material store says, well, geez, we can't give you any more credit. So my wife went over to Denny and said, now, is it really true that our credit's cut off? And he said, oh, no, not for you. Not for you. All right, now that's important, and then it's important because I don't depend upon my customers paying me in order for me to pay my bills. See, I'm not on COD, and that's because I'm not running accounts receivable. See, I don't have people that owe me money, which means that then, you know, I have to collect from them in order to pay my bills. I don't do business like that. I do business under what we call the Ten Commandment business model. And now, if you're doing business, and I read you a letter yesterday from a guy, and then he said that that he's been listening to the program, lives in New York City, and he said, now, I want to get to zero COD so that I have money over here and my bills do not depend upon anybody paying me in order for me to pay my bills. Now, that's where you want to get to zero COD. Now, if you've got debts, you're not there yet, partner. See, I don't have any debts. And when I go out and buy something on time and I don't pay you for 2 or 3 or 4 months, that's no big deal because I've got the resources. I can go out and sell what I need to sell to come up with the Fed notes to go pay those bills because I don't operate a deficit. Not like our government. See, we operate a deficit. We physically do not have the money to pay the bills. And what's worse, we don't have anything to go out and sell to pay the bills, you know, like gold and silver, wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, or cows or something else, you know. I mean, I got cows up here, you know, if push ever came to shove, you know, I could take my cows to the sale barn and sell them. Somebody told me the other day they took some cutters and canners over and got 31 cents a pound. Now, I told you the other day I got 69 cents one time for some cows. Two steers, what it was, 69 cents. And I said then, I'll shoot them in the field and let the coyotes and the buzzards eat them before I sell them for 69 cents. And I saw the other day they went down to 31. That's what one guy reported to me. I said, oh, my God. Talk about depression, you know, depression-era times. Now, 31 cents is a fine price to pay when tractors are $4,000. But when tractors are $40,000 and $80,000, then 31 cents doesn't cut it. You know, let's wake up and smell the coffee. Now, last time I said I'm going to show you how to cut your expenses. Now, if you're the average Joe Sixpack living in the city, buying your food out of Kroger's, you're spending $6,000 a year to feed your family out of the grocery store. $6,000 a year. And that's going to $12,000 and then $24,000 a year. Let me repeat myself in case you missed that. You see, our government has just put $9 trillion into circulation in the past 6 weeks. 90 days. Let's go back, you know, September, October, November, December. You know, the last 90 days. Boys and girls, we're talking about an insane fiscal policy that we have never seen in this country. Never heard of, never dreamed of. I'm speechless. But, you know, we knew it was coming, and here it is. By God, they did it. Now, they have doubled our money supply, which cuts the value of our dollars in half, and it takes 12 to 18 months for that to hit the marketplace. So, you know, bend over, get the Vaseline out. Here it comes. Wake up to reality. So this $6,000 now that you're spending on grub is an essential. You know, you got house payments to make. And if you don't make your house payments, the bank now is going to foreclose on you. Now, here's what they're going to do, though. Wake up and let's see if we can't make a deal. When the bank forecloses on your house and kicks you out, the house is vacant. I had a guy here the other day that went on vacation. He was gone. He's from California, and I forgot where he lived now in California, but out in the, I don't know, San Bernardino or someplace. He's gone for 2 weeks. He came back home, and his house had been stripped. The thieves came in and stripped all of the copper plumbing out of his house. And they caused so much damage as they were stripping the house out that with the mortgage that he has on it, the amount that it's going to take to fix the house is more than the mortgage. So he's just going to walk away from it. Isn't that just special? All right. So wake up now. Let's figure this one out. When the bank forecloses on a house, it leaves it open to vandals to come in and strip it. So during the last Great Depression, the banks didn't, when they'd foreclose on you, see? But they wouldn't kick you out. They'd let you stay there until they sold the house to somebody else. Then they would give you an eviction notice and tell you to move. So when you get your foreclosure, go into the bank and remind them that when you move out, their house is going to be vacant and open to vandals. But as long as you're living in the house, you won't pay them any payments and you won't pay them any rent. But you will keep the vandals at bay. And keeping somebody in the house is better than having a vacant house. All right. Always remember that. Now, if you would sweeten the pot a little bit and offer to pay them $200 a month rent, you know, or something on that order, and just stay there until they find somebody else, you know, to move into the house, that you'll do them a favor. Oftentimes, they'll take you up on that deal. Now, while you're there, you also need to plant a garden. You need to be self-sufficient in food, because if you could save that $6,000 a year that you're now spending at Kroger, not only would it be economically viable, it may be necessity. I mean, it may be to the point where you have to eat off of your own hands because there isn't any food in the store to buy, kind of like Zimbabwe is today. I mean, you got plenty of money. You walk into a supermarket in Zimbabwe, and there isn't anything on the shelves to buy. Okay, now that's coming to a city near you. So let's pay attention here. Now, I read you a letter here from New York in the last program here. I didn't tell you what this guy's name was, but if you're listening in New York, you know who you are. And you live in the suburbs. Now, my recommendation is, and has been for many years, get the hell away from the big cities. These big target areas like New York City. I mean, picture this. Think about it. When Hiroshima and Nagasaki were bombed, it did not kill everybody there. There were survivors. I mean, you hear about all the people that got killed. Hell, it didn't kill all the people in Hiroshima. I don't know if it killed half or two-thirds or whatever, but, you know, there were survivors. And then on the outskirts of town, out in the suburbs, you know, the little towns and villages 20, 30, 50 miles away, they were all impacted by it. But, you know, it didn't kill them all on that day. Now, those people now are faced with the power plants are off. There's no electricity. There's no water. But you didn't get killed in the bomb blast, and so here you are. You're a survivor. And so now you gotta eat, and the roads are disrupted, and the business as usual isn't there. You know, the trucks are not delivering food to Kroger's because of the bomb blast. All right, so now what are you gonna eat? There's no water coming to your house because the dam broke, and there's no electric power to pump the water. And there's no sewage and no sewers working because there's no pumps to pump it away. Come on, let's wake up here. You're living in the suburbs of New York City. You got a house. It's on the lot, 50 by 100 feet. And you're surrounded with lots of other people. All right? And they haven't got water either. And they haven't got sewage. Now, there was a guy who was on the news the other day. Went down to the 9th Ward in New Orleans. He had three houses down there. He was featured on, I think it was the Lehrer News Hour. If it wasn't that, he was featured on Frontline. I forgot. Now, probably was on Frontline. And an old black guy. And he was a plasterer. He's in his 80s. And do you know what that old man did? As soon as the water went down, he went back to his house, which was all flooded out. He sent his wife off to somebody. I don't know, she's living in Houston or Baton Rouge or someplace. And by himself, this old man, 80-year-old man, old black man, went back to his house in the 9th Ward and went to work. Doing what? Cleaning his house out and rebuilding it. God love him. There's a man that's not afraid to work. He was a blue-collar craftsman, you know, a plasterer, belonged to the Plasterers Union. He went down there, stripped his house out, and he's rebuilding his house. Do you know that everybody down the 9th Ward could do the same thing? His house was totaled. You know, it wasn't washed away, but it was totaled out. Now, you know, just working off of whatever he's got. Now, he built that house, he said, or he bought that house years and years ago, just on his paycheck. He said, and this was a good object lesson for all of us, he said, if the government would just get off of all of this horse pucky down here and just send us the payments, the money, $500 a month, $1,000 a month, we could come down here and rebuild our houses, because that's the way we build them to start with. We were working our jobs, and we took $500 a month and bought supplies and building materials, and we worked on our houses, and that's the way we build them. But no, you know, that's not the FEMA way. FEMA says, well, we're going to just write you a check for $100,000, but you got to fill out all this paperwork, and you got to hire a real general contractor, and he'll come down here and do the work. And you people in New Orleans can figure out now, can't you, how your government and FEMA work. The real work that's being done is done by volunteers and churches and organizations and people rolling up their sleeves and going to work like this old man. Now, when this disaster strikes you in New York City or wherever you happen to be, you're going to be left with exactly what that old black man's got, 10 or 12 hours of labor every day. You're just going to get in there and go to work. Clean out the mess, strip the walls down, and buy the sheetrock a few sheets at a time and nail them up. Now, assuming that you're, you know, looking ahead like this guy did here, he says, I'm looking ahead to the year 2010 when I'm going to be unemployed. He's smart enough to figure out that, yeah, J.P. Morgan's going upside down, just like all the rest of them. Citibank, they're all going upside down. And they're all planning for it, just like that Bernie Madoff. Hell, that guy knew he was going upside down. He squirreled away a bunch. Don't worry about Bernie. Don't worry about the guys that chase Manhattan. Hell, them bankers, they took care of themselves. Don't worry about Nancy Pelosi and the politicians. Hell, they got underground bunkers that are stocked with food. When the bombs drop, those guys are taken care of. The people that aren't taken care of is you and me. We took care of our politicians, we took care of our bankers, but we're not taking care of ourselves. Now it's time that we buckle down and start looking out for Joe and Sally. All right, now let me tell you how to do that. Now you're in New York City and you're living in the suburbs, so you've got a lot. If you've got a lot that's 50 by 100 feet, then you've got about a 2,000 square foot house on it. You should have in your front and backyards about 2,000 square feet of lawn and bushes and space, you know, where the gazebo is and blah, blah, blah. Now, you need to produce 7,300 pounds of food off of that 2,400 square feet. You can produce 7,000 pounds of food off of less than 2,400 square feet, but you really got to know what you're doing. Now, if you don't really know a great deal about gardening and one thing and another, then you need to learn. And if you want to learn and learn fast, you want a crash course, you want to find out, how can I live and survive like Yul Gibbons? And now, you come to the law school and we have two classes. One, how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. And subsistence and survival. And in a two-week school with the CDs and the paperwork and the whole nine yards, I can teach you exactly how to do that. Now, what I've done and what I've learned in 70 years, I put down on CD, I put down on paper, and I can do it. And by God, if an old man like me can do it, and I'll tell you where I was really feeling good. If an old black man who's 80 years old can do it in the Ninth Ward, by God, any of us can do it anywhere. Any of us. No, I'm pushing 70 now. And I can still feed myself. And I can do it on 2,400 square feet. And if I can do it, then you young people can do it, and you can do it. I don't care if you're living on Long Island or you're living in New York City and you Queens or something like that. Now, some of you people are living on some pretty small lots. And if you're living on a small lot, you can produce some of your food, but not all of it. I'm talking about producing it all. You got to have 2,400 square feet. Now, what that is, that's six raised beds, 6.5 feet wide. That's a railroad tie wide, 60 feet long. And so if it's, you know, 6.5 by 60, that's 360 feet, and you need about six or seven of those, don't you? How many do I need? 360 square feet divided into 2,400. Well, it's 6 2/3, so you need about seven of those beds. That's how big mine are, 6.5 feet wide by 60 feet long, and you need seven of those. And the reason I like these raised beds is because I can control all of the garbage and leaves and all of the organic material that goes in. And it goes into this little box. It's kind of like playing sandbox. And I go down in my fields and I pick up cow manure and I put in a wheelbarrow. And it takes 45 wheelbarrow loads of cow manure that I bring up from the field and I dump it in there to fill one of those raised beds. Boy, I have hauled a lot of cow manure. And you can put leaves, you know, the leaves that your neighbors are raking up and hoping that the city hauls away or they're burning them in the gutter. You take all those leaves and you take them home and you make compost out of them. That's called organic material. That's the stuff, that's the good stuff that the soil is made up of. And those leaves contain minerals, and you're putting minerals in the ground that your carrots and peas and beans are going to be taken out to nourish your body. It's the waste that your neighbors are throwing away. It's like gold. Be smart enough to go out there and take it. It's free. So you build 7 of these raised beds. And now you start filling them up with leaves and compost and all of the organic material that you can get, beg, borrow, and steal. And that's to fertilize your soil. What you're trying to do is to build your soil in your backyard and your front yard. Now, here's another little trick. During World War II, we didn't have lawns. We had gardens in the front yard. In the backyard, we had a chicken pen. We raised meat back there. We had to raise our meat because, you know, we had rationing. That's coming. Rationing is coming. Now, most cities won't let you have chickens, so forget about meat. You're going to go on a vegetarian kick here. You can feed yourself, get all the protein you need out of your vegetables and fruits and so on. And you can grow it right here in your backyard. In fact, you'll probably have a little left over, and you can trade that to somebody else for something, maybe a little gasoline to run your rototiller. But you don't need a rototiller. You don't need it. Listen, what you need is newspaper. And hell, you can get all the newspaper that you want. It's free. So you start collecting newspaper from your neighbors. So you get the newspaper. That's mulch. See, that newspaper over there is what you use for weed control. See, when you put that newspaper down about 6-8 pages thick, the grass can't grow through it. You put that on your lawn, it'll kill it right out. You want to kill all that grass, you use that mulch, you use that newspaper. In fact, you can put the newspaper down on the ground. It'll kill all the grass, and you poke a hole through the newspaper down into the grass, where the grass used to be, plant your seeds, and they'll grow right up through the hole. You got weed control and mulch all at the same time. Isn't that special? All right. Now watch this. Let's take your walk from the walk. That's your front porch out to the sidewalk. It's 30 feet long. And what we do is we use that walk space. It's 3 feet wide, and it's 30 feet long. Well, 3 times 30, that's 90 square feet. Did you know that in that 90 square feet of walk space, if you've got cement, let's suppose that it's cement, you've lost 90 square feet to cement. You can't grow lettuce on that cement walk. So what we do is we build a trellis down that feet. You walk underneath the trellis. And we build the trellis with railroad ties and hog wire. I mean, yeah, right there in the suburbs, you go down to Home Depot and you buy about 6 or 8 railroad ties. I like to put them on about 8-foot centers. You can go 10 feet, you know, if you want, but about 8-foot centers, pretty handy. And they're already treated, so they don't rot out. When you dig holes and then you stick them up right in there, and then you put a rail down the top of it. And then you buy what we call here hog wire. It's real stiff wire. And you put this hog wire on both sides of it and across the top of it. It's kind of like having a tunnel, see? And then we go out to the sides of it and we plant our pole beans and melons, cucumbers, you know, cantaloupes, the things that are vines. And we train them up that trellis, and we grow our cucumbers, pole beans, watermelons. Now you're sitting there saying, well, you can't grow watermelons. And, oh, yeah, you can. Yeah. Yeah, I can grow watermelons and cantaloupes up in the air. Did you know that? Now, what you do when these melons begin to develop, you take your wife's old nylon stocking and you wrap it around the cantaloupe or the watermelon, and then you tie it into this stiff hog wire. And then your cantaloupe and watermelon. Now, you can't grow these great big watermelons, but you can grow the little small ones that grow about the size of cantaloupes right inside those nylon stockings hanging on your hog wire. And that 90 square feet of walk, which is solid cement, is no longer lost to growing because now we're growing up over the top of it. So you plant your pole beans, you plant your melons and your cucumbers alongside the sidewalk, and then train them up over the top of the sidewalk so that they're growing vertically and then horizontally across the sidewalk, but up on the top. Now, isn't that just special? Now, 100 square feet of garden space will produce anywhere from 100 to 800 pounds of produce. Did you know that? Depends upon what you plant there. You know, you can plant some things that are real space hogs that don't give you very much and take a lot of room to grow, like watermelons and cantaloupes and cucumbers that are growing on the ground. Oh, my God, they take hundreds of square feet of valuable garden space. So you want to plant those things along your walls, fences, and trellises on your wasted space. And you train it up so that you can use that space. So, you know, you've got a lawn in the front yard. If you were to measure up that lawn space out there, total waste. How much grass do you eat every year? You know, how much of those geraniums and chrysanthemums and bushes out there that you've planted, boxwood bushes, are you eating every year? The answer is none. Zero. Zilch. So instead of planting boxwoods and ornamental bushes, why don't you plant blueberries? A blueberry bush. I know it's a wild new concept. I mean, a bush is a bush is a bush. Why not plant one that's got something on it that you can eat? You know, most of you people have a tree or two in your yard. Have you ever thought about having two apple trees in your yard instead of two pine trees? I mean, how many pine cones are you eating every year? Now, apple trees and pear trees and things like that are real space hogs. If you've got an acre or two or three or 5 acres or something, you know, then you got plenty of ground out here. I mean, we can eat well. But I wanted to aim this program directly at you people living in the city, because most of you people listening to me right now, like this guy from New York, partner, I hate to tell you this, but you probably are stuck right there in New York on your 50 by 100 foot lot for the duration. I mean, for tens of millions of you people out there in the world right now, you are stuck right where you're at for the duration. You're not going to have 200 acres in Isabella, Missouri to work with. So, okay, so we don't have caviar and champagne, but maybe we could have chicken and then pear juice. How's that for a plan? Huh? Hey, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Now, once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, or you can call us at 417-273-4967. All right, now today we're going to talk about how do you use that 5,000 square feet that you have in your building lot. Now, I showed you your walk from your front porch out to the sidewalk. You know, let's assume it's 30 feet. Whatever distance it is wasted space because you can't grow anything on a concrete walk, but you can build a trellis over your walks and then grow vertically and horizontally on trellis. Now, there are things that produce an awful lot, like tomatoes. Tomatoes. God, they produce. If you plant 6 tomato plants, let's just take 100 square feet. Tomatoes will produce 100 to 500 pounds on 100 square feet. Boy, that's a bunch. That's a bunch. Now, let's get some numbers down. Here's how much you need for 6 people. You eat 3 pounds of wet food per day. Wet food. You know, that's where you open a can of soup, Campbell's chicken noodle soup, and you eat it. Or you open a can of yams, and then you pour them in a pan, and you heat them up and eat them. Okay, that's called wet food. It's cooked food. You know, you spaghetti and meatballs. You know, you weigh it out, you're going to eat 3 pounds a day. Now, dry food, that is like beans and spaghetti, macaroni, see, that's dry. And you're going to mix water with it. So when you make spaghetti, you're going to eat the same 3 pounds of spaghetti a day, but you're going to pour some water in it. So 1 pound of dry food is what you calculate per person per day. So you got 6 people in your family. Now, a 1-quart jar holds about 2 pounds of pinto beans. So, if you take 2 pounds of pinto beans, dry, how many pounds wet does that make? Which is going to be 3 pounds each. All right. So, 1 pound of pinto beans will make about 3 pounds of pinto beans. So, it's 1 pound dry or 3 pounds wet. That's very basic. Write it down, tuck it away in your heart, because that's our goal, that's what we got to produce. Your 2,400 square feet has to produce 3 pounds of produce per square foot per year. 3 pounds per square foot per year. That's why we need 2,400 square feet. Now, if you can get 6 pounds, then you only need 1,200 square feet. And that's possible. It's not likely, but it is possible. The Rodale people, back in the 1970s, on one of these French intensive cultures, they hold, I think the Guinness Book of World Records has this in it, they produced $28,000 back in the 70s. That's $28,000 bucks now, double, triple, or quadruple that. $28,000 on a third of an acre in 1 year. Phenomenal. I'm telling you, boys and girls, you're going to be amazed at how much food you can grow. Now, you've got to have good, healthy soil. And probably, depending upon where you live, you probably don't have good, healthy soil. So we're going to have to make that. That's why you probably need some education. You probably need some school. Now, I told you this last time. To short-circuit this, to get the most bang for the buck, you come here to our How to Make $100,000 on 25 Acres or a Subsistence and Survival. And I've got the paperwork, about 500 pages of material, about, you know, 25, 30 lessons in each class, along with the CDs that go along with it. It's a five-day school. And in 5 days, by God, I can just about cut away all the mystery to this and tell you this is where the bear does it. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what works, that doesn't. And you can actually see the raised beds. You can see what a greenhouse looks like. You can see how to build a raised bed. You can see what a trellis looks like, how to build one. And, you know, just seeing is believing. And if you can just walk out there and look and say, well, hell, I can do that. Trying to describe this over the radio, you know, or it's a little more difficult, you know, trying to get this and glean it out of a book, you know. But when you're sitting here in the classroom and you say, well, now, where I live, here's what kind of soil we have. What am I going to have to do to fix that soil? I can tell you. The leaves that are falling off the trees on your streets are like gold. I mean, that's all organic material. Hay, straw, all the garbage, you know, that you throw out, you know, to put down your garbage disposal and plug up the sewer treatment plant with, that stuff's gold. That's the stuff you want in your garden, partner. And it's all free. And if you put your mind to it, you can even get the sludge that comes out of your city's sewage. I mean, there's all kinds of manure and horse manure. I mean, if you went out, you know, and took other people's waste, they'd give it to you free. And you could take it home and pay nothing for your fertilizer. Now listen, there are some things that are space hogs. I mean, things that are tasty, like watermelons, corn, grain, asparagus, cauliflower, broccoli. You know, there's 100 of these things out there. But they're space hogs. And if you're trying to get 3 pounds per square foot per year, and you're planting things, you know, like watermelons and corn and grain and wheat, and barley and asparagus and cauliflower, and you know, those things take up a lot of room and they don't produce very many pounds. And you know, you got to have so many pounds a day. Tomatoes is a great one. Boy, I'm telling you. Now, let me show you how. Let me show you how that works. Let's just take 100 square feet that will produce tomatoes, depending upon what kind of tomatoes you plant. And there's, God, I don't know how many varieties of tomatoes. I like the big beefsteak tomatoes because they produce 500 pounds a year on 100 square feet. So that's 5 pounds per square foot. See, we only need 3, but those tomatoes produce 5. You know, if you took your whole 2,400 square feet times 5, that would be 12,000 pounds of produce. And you only need 7. See, that's almost twice as much as you need. Now, obviously, we don't want to eat just tomatoes for the whole year. So remember I told you about Baker Creek seeds? Now listen to this. The Baker Creek seed people, this guy's name is Jerry Gettle, he put a seed package together for dummies in the city. Dummies in the city. So let me give you the nitty gritty here. It's called the Homestead Package. We offer 2 packages containing some of our best seeds and offer each package in both north or south options. So if you live in North Dakota, you want the north option. And if you live in Corpus Christi, Texas, you want the south option. Can you figure that out? If you live in Des Moines, Iowa, figure on north. All right, now, you'll probably need a little guidance here, because if you live on the Pacific Northwest, see, that's almost like living, you know, in Southern California because of the Japanese current. There are places in the country that have different weather patterns. And so there are three of these weather patterns. And so, you know, if you're living in New York City, hey, figure on the north seed package. But hey, listen, you know, if you'd call this guy and say, here's where I live, can you tell me which seed package should I buy? He'll tell you. If you come to school here and you say, well, here's where I live, we'll look it up for you and say, okay, well, where you live, you're right on the borderline. Here's what you need. We can tell you. All right. Ask and ye shall receive. Now, the perfect way to save money and to acquire a safe, secure food supply. Most of the seeds in these packages will store 4 to 10 years if they're kept cool and dry. Do you know where to store your seeds? You store them in your freezer, and they'll keep 25 or 30 years. Did you know that? Now, there are some seeds that only keep for a year, two, or three. And there are some seeds that keep for 10, 20, 30, 50 years. But if you freeze them in your freezer, they'll keep 5 times longer. Now, this is a great way to try many of our best varieties. We offer 3 sizes for medium to large gardens and farms. These packages are also great for people getting started in the market gardening. We have had our packages copied but never surpassed or equaled in price. Included are most of the following types of seeds, such as corn, beans, peas, cowpeas, carrots, beets, cabbage, onions, tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, melons, watermelons, cucumbers, lettuce, greens, okra, winter squash, summer squash, radishes, turnips, huckleberries, sunflowers, leeks, amaranth, broccoli, ground cherries, and kohlrabi. Now, this medium heirloom package, remember these are open pollinated seeds now. There's no GMO here. There's no Frankenfood here. This is the good stuff. They're $90. $90 puts you in business. Now, once you've spent your $90 and you got the seed package, at the end of the year, you let one head of cabbage go to seed. You let one head of lettuce go to seed. You let some of these seeds go to seed so that you collect those seeds so you got your seed for next year. And then you collect those seeds from next year, and then you've got them year after year after year after year. Isn't that a neat plan? You don't ever go back to the store to buy more seeds. See, that's what the seed companies sold you. Just come down here to the lawn and garden store, and we'll sell you the seeds every year. That's a hell of a neat plan for lawn and garden stores and Monsanto and Northrop King. God, I don't blame them. Get these fools to coming back every year so that we can sell them more seeds. So we'll hybridize the seeds so that, they can't produce it from year to year. They have to come back to us to buy it. Well, okay. If that's what you want to do, do it. Now, let me give you this Baker Creek Seed Company again. They got a telephone here, too, so write this down. And their number is 417-924-8917. You got that? That's 417. That's the area code. 924-8917. Now, they're also online. www. You got that? www.rareseeds.com. That's an easy one. Rareseeds.com. The rare and the seeds, it's all one word, but they're capitalized. Rareseeds.com. All right. Now, they're not the only place to buy heirloom seeds, and I don't want to tell you that they are. If you've got another source for heirloom seeds, fine. Hey, have at it. But you know, a lot of you people write me letters, where am I going to get these seeds? I don't know. I don't know where you buy heirloom seeds in New York City. There probably are some there. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Los Angeles, California. But here's where I know to buy them. I know Fedco's got them. But the problem with Fedco is, and a lot of these seed companies is, that's what they do. They sell seeds to gardeners. Now, many of you people out there are dumb city people. And you need some help. Now, this little guy here can give you that kind of help. So when you call him on the phone or you send him an email or you get online or something like that and you say, hey, I live in New York City. What kind of seeds should I be buying? This guy can send you a package to New York City. Say, well, I live in Miami, Florida. He can help you out there. Whereas when you go into a lot of other places, you know, well, one package fits all. Or they've got the various varieties. But you have to know what varieties grow in Bismarck, North Dakota, and what varieties grow in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And you may not know that. Which is why I said again, go to our webpage and take a look at our website on subsistence and survival and how to make $100,000 on 25 acres or less. Now, if you're living in the city, you don't need $100,000 on 25 acres or less. But now, if you're out in the countryside, let's suppose that you live around Tulsa, Oklahoma, and maybe you're living out here on 5, 10, 15 acres. Now, listen, not only is it a good idea to have your own food supply secure, but wouldn't it be kind of neat if you could produce a little extra, take it out in the marketplace and sell it, bartered, or trade it for gasoline that you need to run your rototiller? Because my view is food's going to get damn scarce, and it's going to be damn high. And when the President of the United States of America and the Congress of the United States are loading up on food today, they're stashing it for their underground bunkers. Most of us didn't even know they had underground bunkers. I didn't know that until about 5 years ago. But your government has an underground program just like they have out there in Colorado, you know, for NORAD. Hell, all those generals, you know, they're safe and secure under the mountain. And they've got food and electricity and generators and fuel and everything stocked up to last them for years to come. That's why I'm suggesting that, hell, if the President of the United States thinks that he might be stuck underground for 4 years and needs a food supply, well, what in the hell does that tell you, Mary, Joe, Bob, Bill, Sally? Come on. If the national leadership is preparing for a nuclear bomb war, doesn't that tell you something? Which is why I'm telling this guy in New York City, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd get the hell out of there. But you see, for most of you people, all of your wealth is tied up in your homes, which are now underwater. You owe more on the damn thing than it'll sell for. So you're not going to get any money that you can move away from New York and move out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, or, you know, in the environs thereof. That probably isn't going to happen. That's why I just said, for most of you people listening to me right now today, you're in this for the duration, and you're going to do it right where you're at. Whether you're in downtown Houston or Cleveland or New York or Tulsa or Los Angeles. Now, of course, when they drop the bomb, you know, and if you're underneath it, you're going to die right there. Which just proves my point. You should have got out of New York City, but, you know, you didn't do it. So, as they say down at the Blue Room, read 'em and weep. If you can get the hell out of New York, Los Angeles, or Chicago, by all means, do it. But, you know, for most of you, you're not gonna do that. Same thing with stocks and bonds. You know, you should have sold those a long time ago, converted to gold and silver. If you did, fine. If you didn't, well, okay. You can expect the Dow to go to about 1,500. I saw Bob Chapman the other day said he thought the bottom of the stock market will be 4,500. God, Bob, you're a real optimist. In 1929 to 33, the stock market went from and down to, it dropped 89%. What in the hell makes you think that this time it ain't going to drop 89%? Why is it only going to drop, you know, 60 or 70%? Come on. I don't know what it's going to drop to. I just know it's going to go down some more. So get the hell out of stocks. Get into something more intelligent. But I'll tell you, gold and silver is intelligent, but don't you think food would be more intelligent with a famine coming? You know, when you walk up to me and you tell me, hey, I've got gold and I want to buy food, and I'm going to sit here and say, partner, wake up. I can't eat your gold, and neither can you, but I can eat my food. And once I give you my food, it's gone, and I can't buy any more. So what we're all faced with is how much can we grow? Now, you should have a food storage program. I recommend 4 years. I mean to tell you, I recommend that you have 4 years for your family. Here's how much that boils down to. Remember, you got to have 3 pounds per person per day. Well, now, if you're living in a house and you've got a house and a lot and you need to stockpile food, dried food is the most compact way to do that. A 5-gallon bucket of pinto beans weighs 35 pounds. So that 5-gallon bucket of pinto beans is enough to feed one person for 1 month. So if you had, just as an example, 6 people in your family times 365 days, or do it this way, we need a pound a day per person, so we need 6 pounds of food per day, 6 times 365. So we need 2,190 pounds of dried food. Now that's a ton. It's what we call a long ton, 2,200 pounds, a long ton of food. And you're sitting there saying, oh my God, oh, that's a ton. I wouldn't know what to do with a ton. I can't haul it in the car. It won't fit in the trunk. All right, now watch this. Divide 2,190 pounds. Just do it. Divide it by 35 pounds. That is 62 5-gallon buckets. Now, a 5-gallon bucket fits in 1 square foot. The top of the bucket is 12 inches in diameter. It's just 12 inches. So, you got to have 62 square feet to store it. But you can stack the buckets up on top of each other, and you can stack them in your closet 6 high. All right, so if you've got a closet that's 4 feet wide by 10 feet long, or 6 feet long, 4 by 6, that's 24 square feet. You could get 20 buckets in there 6 high. You know, it'd be 20 buckets in there, 20, 40, 60, you only have to stack them 3 high. Boys and girls, believe it or not, you could store your supply of food for your family of 6 in a closet in your house. Now, you've got a basement, you've got an attic, you've got a garage, haven't you? So a 4-year supply of food for those same 6 people would be 62 times 4, or 250 buckets. 250 buckets, 250 square feet, 1 high, 125 square feet, 2 high, you know, and just keep on going up. You know, you could just about get your 4-year supply into a small part of your garage, all dried food. I don't deny that. But it's certainly possible to do living in the suburbs in Long Island. So don't count yourself out there, kids. You're not dead yet. And when the bomb drops on New York City, that doesn't mean that you people in Long Island are all going to die. There'll be survivors there. But I'll tell you, you want to be on the west side, because the prevailing winds in America blow from the west to the east. Sometimes they blow east to west, but, you know, prevailing winds are west to east. So tuck that one away in your heart. Hey, I'm out of time. In fact, I'm over time. Let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. The Law Hour and Editorial Review now is archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. That's it. We're out of time. I'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.